Hallelujah. It's good to see you here today, everyone. If you're visiting with us today, we welcome you. Hallelujah. If you love Jesus, you'll love this church. If you're practicing religion, you won't. I thank you, Jesus. See, it's all about His presence, isn't it?
Yes.
About us and our relationship with Him. We're walking with Him. And we're walking together in this life. There are no islands in God's kingdom. There are no lone rangers in God's kingdom. We are a family. We are a body. And we're spread out across the earth. Every nation, tribe, tongue, amen? Every kindred. God's got a big family. And you know what? He's getting us ready for eternity. He's making His church beautiful. He's refining us through the fires, even the fires of adversity and difficulties. But the Lord is with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. The Lord will make a way. He will make a way even in the desert and the wilderness. He will cause waters to come, amen, from places that you never expected. He's got a way. He's got a way that we don't always understand or see. But God's ways are higher than our ways. And so if we try just to reason everything and figure everything out. How many have got it figured out yet, by the way? All right. So people get angry with God because they don't know it all. Well, you can't know it all. You're not capable of knowing it all. Because we don't understand why things happen to us the way they do sometimes. Well, someday you're gonna appreciate what the Lord has done for you.
Amen.
When you begin to realize how good He really is, you will know that my God is not a bad God. He's not a mean God. He's not an evil God. He's not a tyrant. He's not a control God. Amen.
Amen.
He is a God that has given us liberty. As sons and daughters, as members of His family, to walk in a new life, to walk in freedom from sin and shame and guilt and fear, and to walk in His perfect peace in a new life made available by the blood of Jesus. So we now have become the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, and God wants you and I to be the conduits through whom He works and moves through, touches the world around us. What a privilege and a joy it is, but also a responsibility that we have. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, it was not a great suggestion. It was a commission. We've all heard that before, but it's true that it's not a suggestion. It is what we are called to. We are called to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Him. And wherever He is, that's where we're going to be. We pray that prayer, Lord, where You go, I go. You know, what You say, I say, and what You pray, I pray. I want to walk with You in unity. I want to be holy as You are holy. And the only way to be holy is to be integrated into Him who is holy.
Yes.
Is to abide in Him who is holy. Not practice religion, but walk in a relationship with the Holy One. He's the one who makes us holy. Religion teaches that it's all in your hands to make yourself holy. But Jesus said it's impossible. That's the reason why He came. Because anyone who tries to save his life will lose it. You see, the religious people of His day were trying to save themselves by their good works. And they were not able to. They had to realize that they needed to come to the one who stood before them, the Son of God. The Messiah had appeared. And they had to recognize who He was. And they had to come to Him for grace. Because all had sinned and fallen short. There's not enough good that you can do to outweigh the bad. The problem is that the bad remains apart from, amen, His salvation. So we've got to come to God and we've got to confess and forsake our sin. And when we do that, He grants us His grace, His forgiveness. And there's nothing better than having a clean heart, of having a clear conscience, that I don't have to walk around beat up and dejected and rejected, because you're not rejected. The moment that you set your heart to return to God, He's got His arms open for you. He comes running. And He will embrace you and He will welcome you and say, I've been waiting for you. Just come home. In my Father's house, there is plenty of joy. There's plenty of peace. There's love. There's acceptance. There's identity. Who am I? I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm a child of God in Christ. God is a lover, for God so loved the world. God loves you. He really loves you. And because He loves you, He gave Jesus. He gave His Son to die in our place. Jesus loved us so much that He was willing to lay His life down. In very nature, God became a man. God Himself took upon Himself the form of a man in the Son. But He loved us that much that He was willing to go all the way for you. Is it not our reasonable service to go all the way for Him? He gave all, we give all. And when you give all, you experience the life that He promised. I came that you might have life. I have found the Holy Spirit to be such a faithful friend. You know, folks, He's not a God that you have to shout out of heaven. Amen. He's with us in His Spirit. And He's a word away. The word that's in our mouth, the word of faith. The word that calls and says, Jesus, Jesus come, Jesus help. Do you know He's just right there? He's been right there. Do you know He's been there all along? Yes. He simply waits for us to open the door. Is it not true that God wants everyone saved? But it's also true, unfortunately, that not everybody will be saved. And when they asked Jesus, Lord, how many will be saved? He said, strive to enter in at the narrow gate, for wide is the road that leads to destruction. And there are many who go on the wide road. Do you know the wide road is the way of selfish will, selfish ambition? It's my way is the wide way. His way is the narrow way. People say, well, you Christians are just intolerant bigots. Narrow-minded, intolerant bigots. Well, I had somebody in so many words, they didn't quite say it to my face that way, but they were hinting at that the other day. And I said, yes, I said, but narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there are who find that. Amen. There are few who find it. I got to minister to a Jewish lady the other day, and God just really downloaded, you know, what I needed in that moment. And her, I really believe her eyes are opened about the Messiah, who Jesus really was. But there are opportunities that God is giving us, folks, on a daily basis that we need to be looking for. Amen. Where I am, Jesus said, there my servant will be also. So the question is, Lord, where are you today? What are you doing today? Because I want to be with you. I want to do what you're doing. And He's with you. So wherever you go, Jesus is with you. So the question is, Lord, what do you want to do here? What do you want to do today through my life? Amen. So I want to talk today about, well, we're entering into, we've already entered into 2013. I really believe that this is going to be a really good year. It's going to be an awesome year for the church. It's going to be an awesome year for people who know Jesus, who follow Jesus. It's not going to be awesome for people who don't. Because we have a refuge in the Lord. We have a place where we can find true peace in the midst of a chaotic world. God is able to make all grace abound to you. Not just some, but all grace to abound to you. So that we, having everything that we need in Him, can live victorious in the days ahead. It does not mean that every day is going to be silver lined, or that you're going to have, you know, a day without trouble every day this year. How many have discovered that, right? That's no mystery. But in the midst of it, in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of trouble, there is a refuge in Him, in the Lord. There is a place that we can escape to. God wants us to enter into a place of rest in Him. And that is accomplished through spiritual worship. Worshiping God in the Spirit. Not just doing stuff for God, but walking with God. We are called to walk with Him, not work for Him. When you walk with Him, you will work with Him, but not for Him in that sense. Jesus gave us the illustration of the yoke. He said, "Take my yoke upon you." Amen. You get the image of two oxen that are yoked together. And they would put a stronger ox with a weaker ox. Guess who the weaker one is? And guess who the stronger one is? It's Jesus. He says, "Hook up with me, link up with me. And I will," initially, He'll be doing most of the pulling. But He's going to put you into some situations where, guess what? You're going to start exercising your spiritual muscles. And you're going to get built up so that you will be strengthened to become as your Master, as your Lord. Jesus wants you to be like Him. He wants you to grow up. He wants you to be strengthened. Amen. He wants you to be victorious. And so we simply, the key is staying connected, staying yoked with Him. Abiding in Him, worshiping Him in spirit. No matter what's happening, know that He's right there with you. Just keep on looking to Jesus, calling on Jesus, praying to Jesus, worshiping, praising Jesus. Amen. And you will become stronger and stronger. In Jude 20, it says, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Worshiping God in spirit and in truth. That's what the Father's looking for. Not slaves who work for Him, but sons and daughters who walk with Him. And as we walk with Him, we will work with Him. You cannot walk with Jesus and not work with Jesus, because Jesus is working. He's working in His church. He wants to work with us and through us. Amen. In this world. This needs to be a year of fruitfulness. How many want to bear more fruit this year than ever before? Amen? Amen. Well, we can and we will as we walk with Him. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 14 this morning. I'm going to talk about moving in your God-given authority. Moving in your God-given authority. You see, as followers of Jesus who have received the Holy Spirit, that have the Spirit of Christ in them, you already have authority in the Lord. If you do not realize your authority, you will accomplish nothing. It's not enough even to know that you have authority. Authority has to be exercised. It's not enough to know that you have authority. Authority has to be exercised. A police officer can know that he has a badge that gives him authority. But if he doesn't believe in that authority, then nobody's going to listen to him, because they'll know that he doesn't believe in the authority that he has. Your adversary, the devil, will not listen to you if you don't really believe in the authority that you have. But if you know the authority you have and you believe that God indeed has given you authority over all unclean spirits, and you know that you know that He's with you, He's in you, He's for you, the enemy knows that too. You see, some people the devil's able to just beat up on all the time, because they don't know the authority that they have. And then there are others who do know the authority that they have. And so when he comes to beat up on them, they don't tolerate it.
Amen.
Because you do not have to tolerate it.
Amen.
Now, this is chapter 14. This is after Israel was delivered from the bondage of Egypt, okay? By the blood of the Lamb, a type of Christ in the cross. Pharaoh being a type of Satan, he was defeated and he was humiliated. And he decided to send his army to pursue the children of Israel to destroy them. He was mad. God messed him up. Do you know that Jesus has messed the devil up too? And that's why he's mad. And that's why he attacks. And that's why he's trying to destroy you, is because he's mad that he's been defeated. He's a sore loser. But what he wants you to believe is that he is not defeated, but that he has more power than you have in your hand. Now, what I'm going to talk about today is something that we need to understand, that God does not do everything for us. Because God has already done everything for us. What God has done is he has invested in you and I in Christ the keys to unlock doors. Amen? He's given us the rod, if you will, of his authority to go about and do the things that Jesus did and defeat Satan in the world and to destroy his works. God has already accomplished, through the redemption at the cross, everything that we need is now available to us by faith and what he has promised. We live by the promises of God. What did God promise me? I need to know what he promises. You can't stand on the promises if you don't know what the promises are. So here, Pharaoh is angry. He's pursuing them. And in verse 10 of Exodus chapter 14, when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Now, how did they respond to the threat? They cried out, right? And how many know that there is a time to cry out and a time to take action? The problem is that sometimes we are continually crying out to God where he's telling you to take action. God, take care of the giant. Get rid of the giant. Do you notice that God used a little boy named David to deal with a giant? You see, there's a time to pray, but there's a time to act. And faith is not passive. The just shall live by faith. Faith requires that you and I act upon the authority that we have and the knowledge that we've been given. And when you do so, you will see that the word of God is true. In verse 11, they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Now, they had been complaining for years and years and years and years. And God wrought a great miracle, with the 10 plagues, and he demonstrates his great power. And it was a very short time after that, that already they're starting to grumble. Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? In other words, they're saying, it's better to be in bondage to the devil. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. See, they didn't understand God's heart and God's character and God's purpose and God's plan. So they began to doubt. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Now, we know that the battle is ultimately the Lord's. Would you agree? But we need to remember that the cross was a victory and that our enemy is already defeated. Because we use that a lot. The battle is the Lord's. But often what we do is we shrink back from something that God is calling us to deal with. And we put everything on God who's telling us to take action to deal with the problem. There's a time to pray and there's a time to move on. So we know, according to Colossians 2:15, speaking of what Jesus did at the cross, that he has disarmed principalities and powers. He, Jesus, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Now we know that this is the same triumph that's described in Ephesians 4, where when he ascended on high, he took captivity captive. And he gave gifts unto men. This was a glorious resurrection when he came up out of the grave. Hallelujah. And his ascension, as he passed through and he has overcome over all the hosts of hell and Satan. And as he's passed up through the atmosphere on his way back to heaven. He passed through the very domain of the one who is now who we call the prince of the power of the air. Now, the enemy, he uses misinformation to deceive our minds. He tries to present himself in a false light. Of course, he is false. So everything he does is a lie. So we got to quit listening to him. We got to start listening to what God says. Well, what does God say about it? It doesn't matter what my mind is telling me. If my mind needs to come under submission to God's heart, amen, to God's will, to God's word. If you try to reason your way out of everything that happens in life, you're going to be a mess.
Amen, brother.
You need more than your own understanding. You need God's wisdom. You need God's power in your life to overcome. Hallelujah. How many know that there's nothing to fear if we are in Christ? Because it's clear that Jesus has already disarmed principalities and powers. So now in verse 13, Moses, he reassures the people. He's telling them not to be afraid. He tells them to stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, what was he saying? He's saying, trust in the Lord's deliverance. And, you know, that seemed like good counsel. Would you agree?
Amen.
In that situation?
Yeah.
And this is often the counsel that we give ourselves today. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But unfortunately, there are many people who continually live in that place of confessing that and never have any victory. When is God going to show up and do something about this? Isn't it true that we use that, but we use it in passivity as if we are to just kind of sit on our butt and hope God's going to get us out of every mess that we're in? But that's not how it works. Because remember, we are to be yoked together with Jesus. And we are to walk with Jesus and we are to work with Jesus. So it means that I have to cooperate with Jesus in his plan for my life.
Yep. Amen.
People are waiting for, you know, the angelic messenger or the money to just rain out of heaven or whatever their need might be. And that God is often speaking and giving instruction. And yet we have no faith in the word of God. So we do nothing and nothing happens as a result.
Yep.
Nothing changes. How many know that God has plenty of wisdom for us if we ask for it? Amen?
Amen.
He's all wise.
Amen.
He's all knowing.
Yeah.
He will give you a strategy. He will give you ideas, God ideas, as to how you can get yourself out of the mess you might be in right now. But are we listening to Him? Or are we waiting for God to just supernaturally do everything? Well, how many know that obeying God is a supernatural act? Because when you obey God, He releases the power. He releases His grace into your situation. Because when you obey God, what you're saying is, Lord, I believe you. I trust you. I have faith in you. I have faith if I get out on the tight wire, you're going to be there to catch me. I have faith if I get out of this boat onto the water, amen, you're going to hold me up. Thank God for Peter. At least he got out of the boat. Sometimes the Lord's ways may seem unreasonable to us. I've been there, have you? In Exodus 14 and verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, listen to what his response was. What did he say about it? Why do you cry to me? What were they doing? They were crying out to the Lord. Well, isn't that the right thing to do? Well, God says here, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. How many know that if you and I don't go forward, you won't go forward? If you don't step in faith, you won't move from where you are. And that's why people can be years and years and years in the same place and never grow. Because they're playing it safe. Because they don't have enough faith in that what God promised He's able to do. So I'm going to play it safe. I'm going to sit in complacency in my little bubble of protection where it's warm and fuzzy in here. Hallelujah. How many know what happens to a chick if it doesn't hatch? It's going to rot. Come on, it's time to break out, amen, of the shell. Come out of your shell. Arise and shine, for your light has come. Let your light so shine before men. Because your God is with you, your God is for you, and your God has given you authority in His name. That when you go, He will do mighty things. We are going together. We're working together with Him. Quit crying. Take action. Faith requires action. James 2:18. Someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Do you see, folks, that God is calling us to action? God wants His church activated. Sometimes you just got to shake yourself out of that thing. You got to shake the complacency off. It's not of God. The devil wants to shut you in a bubble of predictability, of probability. It's not the realm of faith. It's not where God is. I remember Chuck years ago shared a message about getting out on the limb for Jesus. Where's the fruit at? It's not at the base of the tree. The fruit is out on the limb. You got to get out on the limb where the fruit's at. Hallelujah. And so what did the Lord say to Moses in verse 16? Lift up your rod. That's, what is the rod? It represents God's authority, God-given authority. Stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. He's telling Moses to do it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. In other words, Moses, start exercising what you already have. We are asking God, give me, God, give me, God, give me. And God said, what do you have? Start using what you got already. I've already given it to you the first time you asked for it. The first time you believed, you received it. There are people who are, we are powerhouses in the Lord because we've been anointed by God. We've received the power of the Holy Spirit. You are a powerhouse for God. The devil doesn't want you to believe that, and he wants to use fear to shut you down. He'll be afraid of you when you start exercising your authority and you start believing in what God says and who He says you are. That you are an ambassador representing the kingdom government of heaven. And your commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, is backing you up. He says, now go in my name. Represent me. Oh. See, Moses didn't realize the authority he had already had. And the same thing is true about many believers today. We're waiting for God to do for us what He's already told us to do. The people were to move on and Moses would divide the sea. You know, the sea represents a barrier, doesn't it, for them? It was a barrier. How are we going to get out of this mess? And God says, well, you're going to go right through the sea. That was bigger than their reason. They're probably saying, we're going to have to build a big bridge here. Or start putting together some boats or something. And, you know, that's what we would do. We would start reasoning out, how are we going to make this work? And God asked them to do something that was beyond anything that they could possibly do. Because that's how it works with God. What He tells you to do is bigger than you are. And so, there are many barriers, folks. And there are barriers to your destiny. And do you know, folks, that you can miss your destiny in God because you refuse to move the barrier? If you want to play it safe, you'll stay where you are and you'll never receive the manifold blessings that God has for you. You'll never discover who you were in this life as a son and daughter of the Most High God. If you want to sit in the boat and just hope the storm will go away. You see, Jesus showed us by example, didn't He? Jesus got up in the midst of the storm and He spoke to it. And He said, peace be still. Sometimes we're quaking in our boots, you know, we're just, God help me. God get me out of this. God do this. God do that. And God has given you something in your hands, an instruction, something that you need to do. Whether it's to speak to your situation and start claiming the promises of God over your situation. You need to start stepping out and you realize that someone here is sick and they happen to be in your path. Guess what? There's an opportunity right there for you to say, well, what do we do in this situation? Well, we'll take down your name and we'll turn it in for the prayer request. And we'll sit around for 20 years and ask and ask and ask and ask and ask. And God says, no, step out. Believe that when you ask, you receive. Take authority over sickness, over disease, and in my name, these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen?
Amen.
And we pray for them. I was sitting, I guess I could share this. I was sitting in a restaurant with Jesus the other day, and there was somebody behind me that just kept talking about all her health problems. And you know, you can't help sometimes in a small restaurant to eavesdrop, especially if they're really loud. And we're trying to eat, and she's just talking about all this, you know, oh, blah, 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 all these problems she's having. So I just felt like the Lord tugging at my heart. Go deal with it. You know, oh, Lord, is that you? You know. So I thought, well, I'll run it by Heisuk too, because, you know, she's discerning. I said, honey, you go over there and pray. No, I didn't. But this is the cool thing. Long story short, God spoke to us. He said, go pray for her. So I turned around. I just introduced myself and said, hey, I'm a minister. I'm from Shelton. And I said, we believe that God is able to heal you. Would you like us to pray for you? And she says, sure, that'd be great. Found out that they were believers, but they hadn't really understood or believed in that way, you know. And so I explained everything. I talked about the cross. I talked about what Jesus has already accomplished for her. It's already done. I said, we just agree and we just believe in your heart. And I believe God's going to touch you. See, you speak a word of faith over them. And we prayed, and guess what? Boy, her knees got healed. She just started working in her body, and she just was blown away. And then I just felt the Lord say, now tell her to go and do likewise. I says, now you, as a child of God, have authority to go and do likewise. I said, you find other people and you pray for them. And if they don't know Jesus, introduce them to Jesus. But see, that's... Amen. We got to be just open to those times, those opportunities that God has given us. I've seen this happen several times where just the Lord would prompt me or something. You know, I walk up and somebody would just go, oh, you know, or something like that, of that nature. And it's like, you know, how obvious was that, you know? God, are you trying to say something, you know? And so we need to be about our Father's business. And as we are walking with Jesus, we will also be working with Jesus. Now, a typical believer today, right, would say, Lord, you divide the Red Sea. Because if I do it, the people will think I did it and would rob you of your glory. So I will step back and let you do it in your time. Now, that sounds humble, doesn't it? But, you know, often behind that statement is the spirit of fear. What, the fear of failure? The fear of embarrassment before men. Folks, when I stand up here, you know, I've got to stomp all that stuff. I've got to, that stuff wants to get on me too. And you know what? There's times when God says, I want you to step out. I want you to start praying for people. And he's saying the same thing to all of us. Why? Because it's not just for me. It's for you too. We're supposed to work together. And so I have to refuse that part of me that says, what if? What if? You're going to look pretty foolish if you pray or you declare that and nothing happens. Do you know the Lord wants us to hold him to his word? He wants you to step out upon his word and say, it doesn't matter how I feel about it. It's what God said. God said to do it, so I'm going to do it. And start practicing. Start experimenting, finding out who you are. It's a discovery process. So what if somebody didn't get healed the first time? I think it was Sid Roth who said he prayed over 300 times for people. And nobody got healed. 300 times he prayed for people. And then one day he said it just came on him. And after that, people getting healed all over the place. Because he was obedient. And he was practicing his faith. He was putting action to what he believed, and it was genuine faith. Faith is not faith until there is an action accompanying it. That's why when we pray for people, we'll ask them to move and check yourself out. Take action. Take a step of faith. How many want to see miracles in your life? Amen. How many want to see God use you in a miraculous way, right? Okay. You'll never see a miracle if you play it safe. If you operate in what is predictable and what is obvious and what you can see, are you with me? If you try to operate in that place, it's not going to happen. Often our Christianity, you know, is nothing more than what we can do naturally. We act like Christians, you know. But we need to be transformed and become Christ-like. That's the difference. I'm not acting like Jesus. I'm becoming like Jesus. And so what God calls you and I to do is bigger than we are, beyond what we can do. However, we need to realize the authority that we have because we have received his Holy Spirit, who enables us, who empowers us to destroy the works of the devil. And that's an awesome thing. I don't like the devil. He doesn't like me either. So we want to destroy what he's doing in people's lives. So we want to help people. And you can send people to counseling. And some, if it's, especially if it's not, you know, godly counseling where a person has a relationship with the Lord and they're able to hear from God, they just go to counseling for years and years and years, and they spend all their money and they never get better. But the counselor's getting rich. God wants to show up, folks, and demonstrate his power so that it will bear witness to the reality that Jesus is no longer in the grave. That he is alive, he has ascended to the right hand of the Father, he has sent the Holy Spirit to the earth, that this church will be empowered to continue to do the works that he began to do. In this coming year, folks, I am praying that we will be activated like never before in our individual lives, wherever we find ourselves, that we're going to realize the authority that we've been given, and we're going to start to do the works that Jesus told us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Not ask God to do something he's already told you to do. He said, heal the sick. Well, yes, God heals the sick, but he uses you and me. And he gives us the authority in his name to do it. Are you with me?
Yep.
And when we do it, of course, it's for the glory of his name. We're not doing it to make ourselves famous. We want people to see Jesus. We want people to know that Jesus loves them. And I told that woman, I said, listen, God is just wanting you to know how much he loves you. He's loving on you. You know what? People need to really know that. They need to know that God really does love them. That God is alive. He's not dead. We serve the living God. We serve the eternal God. And it's not just for the select few, folks. It is the authority that God has given to his church that we would all function in our realm of influence in the earth. Wow. So the typical believer. Any typical believers in here today? How about normal Christians? Normal? Okay. He says, is that a loaded question? I don't know if I want to put my hand up on that one. But we are to operate as a normal way of life. We are to operate in the supernatural. We should be expecting supernatural things to happen. And as we grow and as we develop and as we practice and as we do what the Lord is showing us to do, if we're realizing that, hey, I don't have to ask God for the authority. I've already got the rod in my hand. Start doing it. Start practicing it. Start applying it. You see, Christianity is not boring. It's exciting. Jesus is never boring. It's always exciting what he's doing. It's always an adventure. Hallelujah. You're stepping into realms that is totally impossible for you to operate in. But he wants his people to be on fire for him, lit up for him. He wants you and I to arise for him. Stand up for Jesus. Hallelujah. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. We need to be an empowered people. A worshiping people are an empowered people. A praying people are an empowered people. And as we do these things, as we step out for Christ, you're going to see, hallelujah, wow, just little old me. Yes, little old you and me. And we have a mighty God who's backing us up. And you know what? I believe it. But heaven is all they're rejoicing. They're like, yay, go, go, go. An innumerable company of angels. Church of the firstborn. Souls of righteous men made perfect. It's a festival, amen, going on. They're celebrating the church in action on the earth. And when you and I step out for God, it pleases him. He's pleased because you're believing him now. How many are getting it today? You see, we can't say we believe God and not do what he says. We can't say we have faith and have no action. How many are going to get busy for God this year? How many are going to delight yourself in the Lord this year? Hallelujah. We're not to pray and ask God to move the mountain. That's not what Jesus taught. We are to say to the mountain, get out of my way. Yes. Matthew 21:21, Jesus answered, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree. Remember, he cursed the fig tree and it withered. But also, if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. Now, he didn't add anything or take anything away from that. We just have to believe what Jesus said. Now, a word of caution. The church has not been given all authority. This is where sometimes people get into error. As Jesus has been given that place as Lord over the church, our commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, has all authority. Right? All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples, right? But what he has done is he has delegated, he has given gifts to his church. He has given, amen, a portion of faith. He has given responsibilities and assignments and commissions, amen. He has ordained apostles and prophets and pastors and evangelists and teachers, right? And the fivefold ministry, but he has also given to his people the same responsibility he gave to his first disciples. He said to go and teach them to observe everything I taught you. Not just some of it, everything. So what did they do? Well, they did what Jesus did. And what do? We do what the disciples did and what Jesus did too. Oh, yeah. See, you got to get yourself out of the place of thinking, well, I have to make this happen. No. All you got to do is obey God, and God will do it. Do you believe God today? You see, our faith is going to be demonstrated by our life. By the fruit of our life, we'll demonstrate whether or not our faith is genuine. And, it's really the Father's desire that we bear much fruit. And my prayer is for me and for you that we bear much fruit this year. That we're busy preaching the gospel, amen, of the kingdom. That we're soul winning, that we're demonstrating, hallelujah, that the kingdom of heaven is truly among us, that the kingdom of God is within us, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus Christ is alive and he's risen in our hearts. But he has not given all authority to the church. He has delegated as he sees, as he wills. So in the areas where we have been given authority, we are to move. But in the areas, listen, where we have not been given authority in the earth, we are to pray to him, trust him, and wait on him. So we're bringing some balance to this. There are certain things that we are to pray, that we are to trust, and we are to wait. And certain prayers are going to be yes, some are going to be no, and others are going to be wait. But the key here is to know where I have been given authority. What is my realm, okay, of anointing or influence on the earth? So that you can with confidence begin to step out and exercise your authority and see the kingdom come and the will of God be done on the earth. You see, we are praying for heaven to come. Heaven come. Let the will of God be done on the earth. Hallelujah. We want the supernatural, amen, to overshadow the natural. We want the eternal to overshadow the temporary, amen, yes. To swallow it up. Yes. And eventually the day will come when this mortal will put on immortality. This corruptible will put on incorruption. We will be perfected, amen. But in the meantime, the church has got to get busy with Jesus. working in the earth. In Mark 16 and verse 15, I love this. Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." How many want to know what the will of God is? Let me read it again. Verse 16. "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons." That speaks of authority. "They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." By the way, verse 18, just for clarity here, it does not mean that we're going to go out and get crates full of rattlesnakes and start handling snakes here. Amen. That's pretty obvious, right? What does he mean by taking up serpents? Well, did not Moses cast his rod down and it became what? It became a serpent. And then so did the Pharaoh's magicians. They cast theirs down. They became serpents. The difference was is that Moses' serpent, what? Swallowed up. In other words, God has the authority here. The devil is defeated. Jesus is Lord. And he's our Lord. And he's with us and he's for us. And so what that means is that God is saying you will take authority over evil spirits. Amen? And if the devil tries to poison you, if you're in the will of God, it won't even hurt you. The safest place to be is not cowering in the corner. The safest place to be is in the will of God. And that may be in a place where you just may be a little uncomfortable being. As a matter of fact, lots of times when God tells me to do something, it's a place where it's going to make me initially a little uncomfortable. Have you ever been there? But I've discovered that, hey, stepping out of the boat may seem a little uncomfortable because I'm looking at the wind and the waves. I'm looking at the whole situation and saying, but that's something I can't do. But if Jesus bids you to come up on the water, then get up on the water. Amen. So next week, what we're going to do is we're going to go out to the lake. No, kidding. Oh, where's your faith? It says they, what, will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Does that mean you? That means you. That means me. That means us. So let's get our hearts right with God first. Amen? So toe the line, say, "Lord, whatever you got to do, here I am. I'm presenting myself to you. I'm going to live for you now. I repent. I give my life to you." That's the first stage. And then I present myself and say, "Now, whatever you want to do, Lord, with this clay jar, here I am. Fill me with your power and open my eyes to see what my calling and my responsibility is in this world." And as he shows you, he'll show you usually little things at first, little assignments he'll give you. Start stepping out and taking action. Start pressing in. Amen. Say, "Okay, God, this is uncomfortable for me, but I'm going to believe you." And as you step out, you're going to start to see God move and work in your life. And guess what? You start getting your appetite wet. You start getting excited because you say, "Wow, this is exciting. This is amazing." Do you know, Jesus never rebuked the disciples when they came back and say, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." He didn't rebuke them for that. But he did say, "Hey, rejoice in this and that your names are written in heaven." Yeah. Amen. You're my people. You're my kids. I'm glad I'm a child of God. And I'm glad that I get to do this. We get to do this. So, resolve today. Make up your mind. Repent. That I'm going to follow Jesus. And I'm going to abide in him. I'm going to seek him. I'm going to draw near to him this year. I'm going to hear his voice. Whatever he tells me to do, whatever assignment it is, I'm going to start stepping out in it.